It's the Puppet Parent Podcast, episode 43, Puppets on Film. This week we talk about shooting two puppet films, having our kids backstage during Purim shows, and memories of a New Jersey puppet slam. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Puppet Parent Podcast. Yes. I'm Chad.
And I'm Z. Hi.
We're puppeteers.
We are parents.
And we podcast. Welcome. Episode 43. We have been out of commission for 3 weeks, but here we are.
Sorry about that. 3 weeks
worth of stuff to talk about.
Oh, so much to say.
Yes. See, it's not a bug. It's a feature. Yes. So much has happened since last week, unless you guys heard from us. Hope you're out there listening. Who knows? We don't get any feedback. We're just kind of like sending this MP3 into the void.
People will tell me that they listen, and I'm like, you do? Wow. I have no idea who's listening to this.
That's
so
nice.
Yeah, if you are listening, please say hello in the comments, because yes, it's always nice to, you know, see you.
And if you're just discovering us, you can head over to puppetparentpodcast.com. We got beautiful new headshots, or at least like a beautiful new photo of the two of us together with puppets.
We look so professional.
Never happened ever before.
I put makeup on. I took off my glasses.
Yes.
It's like a whole new me.
We did an in-studio shoot with our guy, Marty Tim, local photographer and SCA board member, way out here in Springville, New York. He did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when I was like, hey, thanks for the edited versions, can you send us the raws? He was like, yeah, here you go. Boop. Like, not even a thing. I was so happy about that. Yeah. So, it's March 7th.
Yes, and your parents come home today.
My parents have been gone for 3 weeks. Coincidentally, the same amount of time we have not done this podcast, 3 weeks, because it's been crazy.
Nonstop. March is always busy for us, yes. Always. It's our busiest month of the year, I'd say. Some years it is.
It kind of depends. So, usually... I'm doing like every single classroom at the pre-K and kindergarten level at PS 58 in Carroll Gardens and Purim shows usually around the same time every single year. So it's either February or March.
Yeah.
It's usually insanity for us. And this year it's just same insanity, but my parents were in Hawaii and we can't hire a babysitter because there's a worldwide global pandemic. So we had all these Purim bookings, where we're streaming live puppet shows, our Purim show, and we have to perform together.
Because it's Purim, and if you don't know Purim,
oh, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's the Book of Esther, and, like, that's what Purim's about, and, we do the whole show. So, and it has, there's some, like, characters and plot lines and stuff. And
so, it's,
It's a lot.
It's one of the great stories in the Torah or the
Old
Testament, doing air quotes, where it's like this feminist kind of piece where main character of the story, or one of many characters, but the main character is Esther. She is this orphan Jewish girl who becomes queen through a lot of crazy circumstances, including a beauty contest and the old queen getting out of the scene because she refused to show up to a party. It's this convoluted and crazy story. It's a whole lot of fun. It's called when you do it every single year, like everybody does this, called Megillah, where you're required by Jewish law to hear the story of Esther and Mordechai and Haman and everybody every single year. However, you can do it however you like. So a lot of people do musicals or puppet shows. It's very much a tradition in Jewish culture to all the kids dress up in costumes, like it's like Jewish Halloween. There's so many fun traditions. It's one of our favorite Jewish holidays. And every single year we perform puppet shows. But I can't do this show by myself because the lead character is a woman, and you want a woman to play that role, right? It can't be like, it's a very silly show, but it's also like, you know, a woman should play that role. So it's a two puppeteer show. One person can't do it by themselves. Jenny Han tried valiantly, I think last year, to do it solo. And after it was like, no, it can't be done. Nope. Don't even try. And I tried it too, but I can't get some of those old puppets to fit on my fat fingers. So we came in to do the show together. My parents are gone. We chose not to even to think about hiring a babysitter because global pandemic. So we had to, for the first time ever, to do something that puppeteers have done for centuries.
And that's put your kids in a corner with something to do while you're doing the show. I mean, yes. Like, it could be a baby in a basket, like, you know, the Hensons did when they first went to their first puppet festival and had Lisa Henson in a basket. there's a great picture of it.
The future president of Universal Studios, Lisa Henson, in a basket at a puppet show.
No, I think they were performing. Like, they were behind the stage or something.
Just babies
or I don't know that they were performing or as much as they were, like, looking at something. I'm not sure. Anyway, there's a great picture of that. And Roxy from Puppet Show Place always talks about how she wore Leaf in the baby carrier and walked around Brookline for an hour while we performed together. Yes. And Leaf is unhappy.
Well, yeah, I mean, any of our kids, it seemed like we couldn't give them to somebody else without them just wailing the whole time that they were gone, which is sweet. But at the same time, it's like...
I remember our friend Nappy would talk about how when his little boy was little, every once in a while, there would be some kind of like... mix up with schedules or
baby
something.
Baby James.
Yes, baby James. And so when he was probably like preschool or kindergarten, first grade, somewhere around there, there were a couple shows where he just had to give him, and this was before iPads, like the portable DVD player and some headphones and be like, just watch it, but don't laugh out loud, you know?
Yes, I remember like thinking
him
back
telling,
to him telling us,
yes.
He was like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Everybody winds up doing it, but don't do this. No, I remember he told us a story, and he's like, and it worked for a couple of shows where James is watching like a movie while I perform. But then one time he was like very loudly, Dad, this is so funny, Dad, you gotta come over and see this. While he's like, you know, performing a shadow piece 10 feet away.
And I have to
for
say,
school.
At the time, I was like, we will never do that. We would never do that. Oh my goodness, I can't believe he did that. And also maybe there's like some hidden part of me that's like a highfalutin parent that's like, you know, and my child would never be like that. I'm so sorry that that's even a part of me at all. But, you know, I'm sure there's a part of me that thought that, you know, and now here we are, we have kids and I can totally see that happening. Oh my God, I can see it happening.
It happens every single day. Our kids watch something, they come and get you, you know, even you're like working
part.
And you're like, you got to come see this. And we're like, well. Oh, they're only 5'1". Okay, you know, and go over there and watch this silly cartoon from Korea about larva living in New York City, and it's all slapstick. And you're like, okay, this is this is very nice. Back to work, you know. So we decided to do this while we were performing our Purim shows.
Yes, but we had how many shows did we perform in person?
Or streaming. So streaming.
Well,
this
I mean,
year,
like live. I meant live, not in person. Like in person, like you and me were there.
It was pretty typical. Actually, we did more because we could just stack them right next to each other. In New York City, normally we would do a show, throw everything into a bag, which takes exactly 20 minutes, run to the subway, take the subway to a second temple or something, set up in 30 minutes flat, which is fast, and then perform the next show, and then do the same thing. Like three show days during, everybody wants the same exact time during Purim. You know, you want Purim
and
day.
And there's travel time in between.
Yes. So
and set up and
usually
down.
It's insane and it's very physically exhausting. This time we were like, hey, we'll just do three in a row. Our setup doesn't change.
I drank some tea in between.
It was nice.
It was nice.
Right?
It was really fun.
It was like doing a show in a theater, which is always like
a
gift.
That's a treat. Yes. Yeah. Not
so,
having to travel.
So we did like 10. 10 is pretty typical, which is nice. But like the week of Purim, you do 10. You don't do 10 in one day like you're doing the marionette show at Macy's Santa Land. No, you do like 10 over a week, which is nice. And mostly the kids did a really good job. You know, I want to say like good job, kids listening to this in the future. You did good. You both sat there with iPads. We only had to run out of the booth and throw a shoe and be like, be quiet, we're performing right now. Like the beginning of our show where one of us has a monologue for like a couple sentences. The other one would run out of the booth, run, like race across into the next room where they were, be quiet, and then run back. race into the booth, pick up the puppet, and continue the show.
The camera is so solely focused on the proscenium of our hand puppet stage.
Yes.
You can't see. So you might have heard like a swish of a curtain or something, but you would never see Chad running.
Yes. Hopefully you didn't hear me in the next room. Big rat!
No!
You know?
And I don't even know how much that they could hear the kids laughing on the camera, but it was also extraordinarily distracting for us.
Yes. I think it was more distracting for us than it was maybe the audience at home.
But it's very distracting for us because you don't know what it's building up to. If you don't, like, kind of... tell them you have to stop, it just grows and grows and grows, and then suddenly they're like in the room, you know, and like messing with stuff,
and they're like, at the same time I'm like, you know what, I'm like, you know, so there's part of me that's like, don't talk to each other, we told you not to, don't apologize later for this, don't stop talking now. At the same time I'm like, oh, they're getting along. You know, like they're telling each other, hey, this is really funny, you should watch this. Okay, cool. Well, wow, what do you watch? You know, it's like, it's not like they're like hurting each other or getting into a fight or anything like crazy like that. You know, it's like, oh, they're really into what they're watching on their iPads in the next room. So every time it would be like a run over there, take the headphones off, be quiet, put it back on, you know, run back. Oh, man. So will our kids, so excellent question from Damon Young. Will our kids perform with us? We had this dream. When before we had kids, we're like, yeah, we'll be like a family company. I think this says in you say in the
when
video on our website.
I'm pregnant with Finn. We have Leave, who's like two mm-hmm. at that point. And I say, yeah, you know, as they get older, they're going to help out in some way, whether that's like holding an arm rod at one point or like introducing the show or something. They're going to help out.
Yeah. Now we're like, no. I'm personally just like, no, absolutely not. Unless, like, not in a regular show setting.
Not unless they want to.
Maybe in, like, a slam or, like, a fundraiser or something where the stakes are lower.
If they came to us and really wanted to do it and to learn it, then yes, I would make the time and teach it to them. But they haven't really ever wanted to learn it or be in the show or anything. And especially our older son has... stage fright sometimes with things like that, so he would get nervous about it. Whereas our younger son, I could see him maybe wanting to do it, like to introduce the show or something and having fun with that and being silly. He loves making people laugh, so I could see him enjoying that quite a bit. But anyways, all that being said, a lot of people think that they're surrounded by puppets and puppet shows all the time. And in some ways they are. I mean, more than the average kid, but they also don't necessarily see us perform all the time. But I will tell you that lunch today, I was making lunch for the kids and Leaf was repeating back to me some of the lines from the show. And I was like, are you guys listening to the show? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, it's a good show. You know, because he knew the whole story of Esther, because I said I was going to make Hamantaschen today because last weekend was crazy. And I couldn't make it. So, and then he repeated back to me the whole story of Esther and what happened. And I was
awesome.
Like, cool. Okay, awesome. You know, I mean, we had read the book too. So between the book that we read that we just got from PJ Library, which is a very good book. I Never Wanted to Be Queen, I think is what it is.
Or Esther Never Wanted to Be Queen.
Esther Never Wanted to Be Queen. Yes.
Yeah. And the artwork for that book is just like, reminding me that we need to recast that show because it's like,
well, that's the next thing on the list. It's just other things keep getting put in front of it of what we're working on. Right now we're working on this Korean paper project called Hanji from UNIMA Korea, the International Organization of Puppetry. But Chad, you should talk about it because you set
yes, and
I'm skipping around.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So UNIMA Korea put out the call saying, hey guys, we are doing this project where you shoot a short film. You have to use this special traditional Korean paper called Hanji. If you do that, there'll be like winners. I don't know who's judging, but they were like cash prizes. And I was like, this sounds awesome. Yeah, you know, I'll submit. Sure, why not? And I put in for it. Turns out I'm the only American. But there's like, I think they said like 13 other countries. And so, yeah, I get to represent our country. We're doing this project together. We're shooting. I mean, I've already shot some of it as the As we get closer to the deadline, which is March 30th Korean time, which means March 29th for us, probably March 28th to be safe, the idea is kind of like evolving, and there's like so much happening, which I will get into in a second, but it's cool to shoot a film again and kind of think creatively about puppets on film again, as opposed to like, this is theater, we do theater, we were filmmakers, now we just do theater. So yeah, there's something really freeing about having fun and thinking about like shooting something quick.
Plus again, film is so much easier now. When we were doing it, it was still like tough, you know? It wasn't as tough as like actual film. And when we first started, we were using tapes. And then
tape stink.
Yeah.
Capturing stinks.
Capturing was the
worst.
You
remember capturing off a tape?
Ugh. And dropped frames.
Your tape could corrupt or wrinkle, or if you taped over something too many times.
It was just stressful. So stressful. And it costs a lot of money. Every time you wanted to shoot something, you need more tape. Unless you're going to shoot over something, which you learned after a while that you don't want to do. You don't ever want to shoot over tape. You just use the tape, and then once you've used it for its purpose, you don't record over it.
Mm-hmm.
You just put it away and store it someplace.
That was the, you know, like learning how to be a filmmaker in the early 2000s was like, we knew we were so close to having all digital everything. We knew what we wanted, but
I know.
With the technology
didn't exist
wasn't
yet.
There yet.
Yeah, not for the average consumer. Or prosumer or whatever type
even
thing.
Even in 20, like I think the when the iPhone started to be getting really good about like taking film on it, you know, that really changed a lot.
Yes. Yep.
And like phone film in general, but like even in 2006, 2007, we were like the prosumer market for shooting digitally was so sparse. In terms of like shooting on a budget, we got these little little devices, yeah, fire drives,
yeah,
that connected by a firewire to our Panasonic HTV camera, and there was a fan inside. They made a little bit of noise, but it was better and was like
it was an external hard drive.
It had an LED screen on the like a black and white screen on the front. You had to figure out like it was not simple. It wasn't straightforward, and even then, it only had like
Had a battery.
It had like 100 gigs. Like,
oh, yeah. So you had to keep dumping it.
Yeah, you had to dump it all the time.
Right.
Because it didn't have very much storage on it. So
you could only shoot like a couple hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tops.
Total. Yeah.
So if you're in the middle of a shoot, and I shot up in the Bronx with some of my friends from SVU, and they used that equipment, and it was like you had to take time to go dump one while you're shooting on the other and like constantly be switching. Anyway, so now it's a lot easier. I'm just shooting everything on our phone.
Yeah.
We'll do some sound work later, but it's nice and it's fun to do. So, so by the end of this month, we will have film for Unima Korea. But that's not the only puppet film that we've done this month.
No, we suddenly got a very last minute project. A friend of mine was suddenly very sick and had to go to the hospital and needed to do inpatient care at the hospital for a prolonged amount of time. That came out of nowhere. They were in the middle of making a project for the Connecticut Education Association for their National Read Aloud Day celebration. And so they called me and asked if WonderSpark would be able to finish the project. The puppets were about 70% done, and could we finish the puppets and then film this little thing? Yeah, no problem. So somehow
that sounds very manageable when you put it like that. Yes.
Yeah, it felt manageable. It felt like it might be a little bit extra work, but you know what? It'd be fun, and there was some payment in it for us too, for helping to do half the contract, and so I said sure because we had all the equipment. It's helping her out because. They were not well, and so anyway. So what I didn't realize is somehow, and they might have said, like, it's due March 2nd, but I don't think I heard that, if they did say it. All I heard was March, And to me, like, March, I don't know why, but if you tell me that something's, oh, yeah, it's due in March, I immediately go, the middle of March, like March 17th, in my brain.
So you know? if you're in February and you're like, oh, it's due in March, that feels like a long ways away.
Time.
Yeah.
I didn't think March 2nd, which would be like early March.
Like literally 1 week from when we said yes.
Like, I just didn't know.
Which is fine.
I don't know why I didn't realize.
Because the puppets were basically done. We were like, oh, we're just picking up where they left off, yeah. Right? So, and this is not a knock on our dear friend who handed us this project. We were happy to take it off their hands.
Yes.
But when we got the stuff in the mail, we were like, oh, this is not all the characters in the book. We got the book and we were like, there are a ton of characters. There's a lot of story here. We can't just do what we want to do, like how we would tell the story with just two Muppet style characters. No, there's like this entire, like, how are we going to do it? So we came up with a plan.
Yes. I said, I'm going to make some miniature versions of these puppets. So it's not all these big, large TV hand and rod style puppets, but these miniature versions of the characters. And I said, I really think I could make a chipmunk, a snail, two otters, and a butterfly, and a goose in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
And you did it.
I did.
Yeah.
And they're really cute. They came out really cute and have really beautiful movement for being so small and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just impressed because they're behind the curtain here. we're at our in-laws' house, still my in-laws' house, your parents' house. And I don't have access to, like, all the tools that I normally have and, like, all the materials that I normally have. But you know what? With the things that we've been able to amass while we were here, I had what I needed to do it. That combined with the repro from the puppets that were sent to us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we built everything. I had to do an all-nighter at the very end from Friday to Saturday. Yeah, that was crazy.
You were totally exhausted. Like typical Z fashion, that like she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I slept for an hour last night. I'll do better today. Like what? What?
I don't know. I don't know. That's just what happens in my brain. So we
were able to build and shoot this film.
Yeah, we shot like it on Saturday.
A film of the book, the way that we wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So
over the course of about 3 to 4 hours, mm-hmm. we shot a whole little puppet film. And the kids, again, were in the other room because we didn't have childcare. but they did a very good job. Mm-hmm. And
they watched so many things on those iPads.
Yes.
Yes.
And then Chad edited it, and we turned it in Saturday night.
On time. And with time enough that they could give some feedback, and I could, like, edit a couple things.
Yep.
And then send it right back. And so you can watch this film. We linked to it on our Facebook page, so... Facebook.com/ mm-hmm. Wonderspark Puppets. There's a link to it there. It's an unlisted YouTube link, so like they want everybody to go to their website to view it there, so we didn't direct link it. So.
And I will tell you that the website loads very, very, very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Very slowly. I don't know why, but give it time. It will load.
Yes.
Go do other things. Come back. It will load.
Yeah. So the book is called The Someone Knew. It's by...
Jill Twist,
thank you.
Judy Twist?
I think it's Jill Twist, yeah.
Twist.
Who also wrote a book that we have called A Life in the Day of Marlon Bundo.
Marlon Bundo!
Who is the last vice president's pet rabbit. And she made this satirical, very like lovely children's book about how the rabbit is actually gay and has like meets a new friend who's also gay, and they go like frolicking with their queerness throughout the garden, and then there's like a little roach who's like, "Bunny, two bunnies can't play together," or something like that. So it was this delightful little story about like not like gay rights, but being like
acceptance.
Yeah, acceptance and like telling the person who's like giving you a hard time just to go away. I think the roach gets evicted. from the garden by the end of the story. And that person made this book. The Someone New is about, is all about like somebody who coming in from another place,
yeah,
right? Who was like, that the snail was like, my garden was flooded and destroyed. I can't live there. I want to come here and live with you. And the anxiety that this little chipmunk feels about like, ugh, like this new person coming into their dynamic. Excellent source material for a kid's book. And she tells it in, I think, like a really amazing way. And we're super happy that that was the project that we said yes to and that we can make a film about it.
Yeah. And she was interviewed as part of the thing. Like she actually interviewed the puppet characters of her book. Yeah. And then the people from the Connecticut Educational Association interviewed her as well. So yeah, mm-hmm. It was cool. It was just really cool to be a part of it. I was really proud of us for meeting the deadline, and I think everybody was really happy, and we were really happy with the puppets. So you should check them out because they're so cute.
Yes, but we will, spoiler, we will probably be using some of those miniature puppets for the Korean project because
they're so cute.
Yeah, and you know, like,
they exist.
They already exist. They're not going to be used for anything else. They might as well.
They move really well.
Yeah. So we two films.
Yeah.
You know, happening really quickly. We are also. Ooh, I'm just going to grab this over here.
Oh, I don't know about this. This is your thing.
Ooh, excuse me. I just burped. Woo. We are also making a new show. Ah, that's right. We are making a Little Red Riding Hood show right now. Z is helping me build. I made the heads. This one has to get some fur on it.
I didn't build the heads. I am helping you.
She's helping me to attach
things that you've made.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You just throw all the blame.
I just don't want people to. You know what? I do sound really kind of like not nice. I don't mean to. I just mean like I have a certain
look
to my.
She doesn't want her name attached to this. In case it turns out looking terrible.
Sorry, I'm a horrible person.
No, I tell people all the time, I'm not a puppet builder, but I can't say that anymore because outside of sewing and attaching and certain things, like, you know, I'm doing all the building on this one.
Your stuff just looks different. That's all.
That's right. That I'm special and unique.
No.
Like that t-shirt with the little tag that says, each one of these is unique in its own way. We screwed up in the printing process and red got everywhere. Ah!
No. I just mean, God, can I dig myself out of this hole?
No, just let it lie. Just let it lie. So, on World Puppetry Day, we are going to be premiering this. I'm just trying to move this. No, I'm just trying to get this window over. Sometimes
brighten
it doesn't. There it is. I don't know why, but occasionally that will happen. Anyway, so on World Puppetry Day, March 21st at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I will be giving a special preview of the show. I've had a spreadsheet for years writing down my favorite puppet bits, nonverbal puppet bits, and because I'm going to be going out into the world as a Fulbright specialist at some point, I need a quick and easy nonverbal show to bring with me because sometimes that's the expectation. Then we don't have one yet, and I felt like I'm not going to adapt any of our previous puppet shows into nonverbal. So
yeah, make it its own thing.
Mm-hmm. So this is what it's all about. It's a spreadsheet show where like basically it's just, you know, like writing down every once in a while like, oh yeah, that was a really good bit, like a really good nonverbal bit, and I have like this whole sheet of it. So I'm going to be bringing that together to tell the story of Little Red Riding Hood with just four characters. I don't know how it's going to go. It's a preview, so that means you can get away with whatever. We went and saw...
Or maybe it's called Little Red Riding Hood right now, and then it becomes its own thing. Like, who knows? You know?
No, it's Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, okay.
That's what's going to be. I mean, when you build the puppets, like, you know, you build Little Red. You know, you build the wolf. So... Unless there's another, I don't know. Anyway, when you call Little Red Riding Hood, everybody expects that story. And I like that story. It's a fun, it could be a great story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up. Also, there's this joint UNWA USA Puppeteers of America thing happening. World Puppetry, there's so much going on. I'm happy.
It's becoming more of a thing every year, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's at... I'm going to tell you when it is that day because it's like I'm involved in it, and I'm just hearing more and more about it. I'll be giving a presentation about streaming puppet shows in like a breakout room at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, March 21st, World Puppeteer Day. If you have a puppeteer friend or if you are a puppeteer, you will notice on that day there will be so many live shows streaming or just like things happening all over the place, you know, related to puppetry. And the day right before that is, I mean, it's March 20th, but it's also Will You Be My Neighbor Day. Or Won't You Be My Neighbor Day.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, and Z will be performing twice that day with our puppetry style that pays tribute to the Mr. Rogers shows that you saw as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. As part of Sandglass Theater's
Winter
like Sunshine series.
I was putting it all together and thinking about it and being like, you're right. That's nice. I like how you said that.
We talked about the marketability of doing it on the day. It also just happened to be the day that they offered, and we're like, yeah, that's the one. Because Mr. Rogers, you know?
Yeah. It was super nice. And I love the show Chicken Soup, Chicken Soup. It's based on the book by Pamela Meyer. And we were granted a PJ Library grant to make the show. And so we're happy to get to continue to perform it. And it's about two grandmothers who each have a chicken soup recipe and their granddaughter who is feeling pressured to choose which one is the best. And so you'll have to watch the show and see what happens.
Yes.
But it's nice because one of the grandmothers is Jewish and one is Chinese. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like blended race families is really, you know, that's the way of the future, and identifying and acknowledging your cultural heritage, but at the same time, like, you know, getting to know, like, all the sides of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Did you know there exists only one Chinese American rabbi in America? This one woman up in Boston.
Cool.
Yeah, where it's kind of like, she's a unicorn now, but I imagine that there will be many more in the future.
Yeah, it feels that way. It feels like there's the broadening of those kind of boundaries. And like, mm-hmm. like they're not real boundaries, but you know, how people feel and relate to things and stuff. So
I read little articles. There's a great Jewish multiracial network. There's a bunch of networks like that online for you to follow. And one of the articles I read recently, or somebody was talking about there's a Facebook group called Jed Lab, which talks about like, it's like Jewish educators coming together to talk about stuff. And somebody was like, hey guys, is there a non-binary way to say Jew in ASL? Because right now I think it's the same one for beard.
Mm.
Because when you think of like a stereotypical old world Jew, you think of like an old man in a beard.
Mm.
And that's the stereotype everywhere, right? You know, thank you, Fiddler on the Roof. But like we're having those kinds of discussions. It's like, okay, if not that, then what? How can you boil down an entire culture and religion and thousands of years of history into like something in ASL, you know, like a sign language?
Right. Like I know that sign language for Jesus is this.
Oh, the stigmata.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
The sign language for Jesus.
I don't know the one for beard or Jew, but I imagine it's, you know, like something like this. Or I'm sorry if I just swore in ASL, but you know, something where it's like, wow, okay, beard, I get that.
Stacy listens to this podcast. She's learning ASL.
Well, Stacy or anyone, if you're out there and you know ASL and you know the word for Jew in ASL, is there a way to say something like that if you know anything about Jewish culture? Hit us up because I want to know how to say that. The great thing about Jewish culture now is so many more American Jews, I can't speak for Israeli Jews, are saying that Jews are not a race. It's a culture. You can be anything you want to be. You know, any shade of anybody can come in and be a part of this. You know, like it's all good and the gates open. Come on in. Are all Jews like that? No. Are there some completely insular groups of Jews in America? Yes. But by and large, the people that we that I see online and that we interact with and that we go and perform for, that's kind of like the broadening of the horizons. And I'm so happy to be like on the ground floor of that.
Yeah. Or to be learning about it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I get to see because I interact with so many hundreds of Jewish groups and temples and stuff every single year. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anywho, we just had a long conversation.
We did.
I'm almost out of water, but we had a long conversation right before this podcast.
We
got it all out of the way because sometimes when we do this podcast, it turns into the Puppet Pandemic podcast where we're just talking about this awful, awful pandemic.
Yeah.
So, little update. 500,000, or is it 520,000 Americans currently dead from this awful global pandemic. Sorry to bring us down to serious town, but like we've been out here in Springville. We've been quarantining for almost a year. Our quarantine anniversary is on Friday, March 13th. You know, so the 13th is coming up. We're about a week out.
Saying to you, we're not going outside anymore.
Mm-hmm. And then you went shopping, and you.
No, that was before.
That wasn't a knock against you. I was just saying, like, I remember that day too, and you're like, and now I need to go shopping and get a bunch of flour, and other essentials, and that's gonna make me feel good. And I was like, yes. And that was it.
That was on March 12th.
Mm-hmm.
That was March 12th. March 13th, I said, we're not going outside anymore.
Yes. So we're coming up on a year, and we're thinking about what's next, you know, because our president has said that they'll have enough vaccines for everybody in May. So it's just a problem of distributing the vaccines. I'm going to get my shot in the arm, hopefully, fingers crossed, tomorrow because I'm a DOE vendor, Department of Education. I work for an after-school company like that. Like I'm technically a teacher, you know, and I have the paperwork to prove it. So as long as that's enough, the paperwork is enough. When I drive 3 hours to Syracuse to the field, hopefully I can get a shot tomorrow. So knowing that I'm going to be vaccinated soon, or at least hopefully soon, kind of opens the doors of like, oh, wow, well, if I'm vaccinated, then I can do in-person shows again, right? After like 14 days or 21 days or however long after you're vaccinated. And then that makes me think like, well, okay, if I'm going to get vaccinated soon, then maybe Z can get vaccinated soon. And if that happens, maybe we can move back to New York City and pick up the pieces, you know, and try and, you know, like continue as we were before. I mean, there's going to be a whole rebuilding in the theater scene in New York City that's always trying to happen right now. But what will it be like when we go back for the summer and, you know, there will be performances in parks and theaters will be performing outside, no doubt. You know, and we might be like out there sooner than I expected later. It makes it so real to finally be like, yo, I'm going to get a shot in the arm tomorrow.
And my side of it was that I just want to see the numbers going down more. That right now, like the numbers are still really high. Mm. And I want it to look like what it looked like in July. This is nationally. So, that's my friend, the graph that I look at every day.
Hey, graph. So remember when that first bump, we thought the first bump, like the curve in New York was as bad as it's ever going to get. Now that bump with where we lost 20,000 of our neighbors, is now the tiniest little like dot
that's the national scale. This is the graph that I pay attention to the most, though, and this is the New York graph.
Uh-huh.
And so when I say that I want it to go back to what it was in July, see how it's like really low in July?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I will feel comfortable going back.
Everyone was outside.
Yep.
Everyone was like, we were still social distancing and everyone was still really scared.
Yep.
We hadn't gotten used to the, you know, just the whatever everyday life of being in quarantine.
Like right now, we're still in what it was like in April with the amount of people.
Right.
And so it just has to get lower. But I think that it could get lower by the beginning of the summer again, possibly if everybody keeps getting vaccinated. But you know, I worry about the new variant that's like going around. I'm trying to not like allow for fear mongering to be happening. And also I just haven't been as plugged in because I'm exhausted from feeling like I've been in survival mode for all this time. And I realize that we are so lucky to be out here and to like not be in such close quarters with other people all the time like we normally are. So I recognize that and that things are a lot easier. And you know, I chose to take advantage of trying to de-stress our life during this extremely stressful time so that it feels manageable. And that's just what I've been trying to do every day is like have this situation that is so long term right now feel manageable. Because not knowing when the end is can really take down morale, I think. Mm-hmm. And so trying to keep up morale, keep stress levels down, that's just like my daily mission, and to stay out of the swamp of sadness.
That's right. Well, you know, at the end of the never-ending story, Artax comes out of the swamp of sadness, and Atreyu is riding on Artax the horse once again, and everybody's happy.
You don't see Artax leave the Swamp of Sadness. You just see Atreyu on the horse.
He's on the horse. What, you think it's like stock footage?
I wasn't ever sure. But anyways, it's important to stay out of the Swamp of Sadness.
So, little note to the director of the Neverending Story from the 80s. Shoot the horse coming out of the Swamp of Sadness and or include that in your new director's cut. How's that? We just want to see it. Just like a little clip, like a 5-second clip of behind the scenes of him, like the horse coming out of the muck, I think would make Little Z feel a whole lot better.
I just know that I can't go there. In all seriousness, I can't let myself get depressed. Yeah. Because there's too many people that are relying on me all the time to do things, and that it's not just about me. So I have to kind of dig deep and just kind of get through it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, don't let yourself drown in the swamp of sadness. You have to give yourself a lifeline. And if you out there are having a crummy week, mm-hmm. like we always say,
you should talk to someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to talk to people.
Reach out.
Yes, because we want to see you. I think I'm dark again, by the way. The swamp of sadness is creeping in on my camera settings over here.
How's that? Boom! I don't know why that happens, better. But there it is.
I don't know.
Just one of those little things you deal with when you stream, I guess. After a while, the computer starts going.
Anyways, you should make sure to talk to somebody if you're feeling sad. And also, we've been watching WandaVision. If anybody wants to talk with me about WandaVision, I'm here to talk to you about it. We have watched almost all of the episodes now.
We got to watch the final episode because there have been spoilers in everywhere I go. Oh. Everywhere I go on the internet, people are posting memes, and it's only been like a day and a half.
We've watched the second to last episode. So we could watch the last one maybe tonight, but it was really intense. So I was feeling like I couldn't watch them back to back. It was too much. My soul needed a break. Mm-hmm. So
I was surprised to learn that the actress who plays Wanda, Elizabeth Olsen, is one of is the sister of the Olsen twins, Mary-Kate and Ashley. Then when I looked at her, I was like, oh my God, it's true. She has the same head and face.
Huh.
Yeah.
A younger sister?
I'm not sure. But once somebody was like, oh yeah, did you know that Elizabeth Olsen and the Olsen twins? I was like, wait a minute. And then I looked at her. I was like, oh my God, I don't need to look this up on the internet.
Huh.
It's true. Now every time I see him, I'm like, yeah, it's that same. Oh, okay. Because if you've seen a picture of the Olsen twins, Mary-Kate and Ashley, as like adults, they have that same, like you can tell, like, okay, definitely sisters, like all three.
I did not know that, but what I will say is the acting has been excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent in it. Oh, you want to see some great acting, it's so good,
right?
Yeah, really good. I was all broken up last night. Sad.
The second to last episode is the saddest episode. It's sad. It's like makes you realize just how sad the entire series has been. Maybe you didn't realize how sad it was, but now we know how sad it was. Oh God,
I'm just like.
So we need to watch this episode because friends of mine that should know better are posting memes about it on Facebook. It's hard to avoid those things. So anyway.
Well, none of my friends watch it, that I know of. So
okay.
I'm not exposed in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is really good.
Yeah. So anyway. Before we go.
Yeah, what else? What else?
Well, so we have this thing where we talk about other people's puppet shows.
Oh, boy. I never prepare.
That's right.
I always do.
So, because... it's because I wrote that up there. I wrote that one.
You did.
I was thinking about our friend Mary Gregan Rogers, because she is laid up right now, and we're sending you positive energy. We want you to get better as soon as possible.
She's doing great.
Doing great. Fight that fight, Mary. You're doing great. I will always remember how I met Mary Gregan Rogers, which was at her slam down in Pennsylvania. Do you remember?
New Jersey.
But it was close. It was like on the border, right, of New Jersey and Philadelphia. Anyway, we went down there to perform a show that we were doing. Was it Davy Crockett in Outer Space?
I think it was Davy Crockett.
Yeah, it's Crowd Pleaser. And it was the first time where we got there and things weren't set up and it was clear that I just needed to jump in and help. And never before did it feel like, oh, like to me, it was really cool because it was like, wow, a slam could be like a collaboration and everybody helps out. If you're a performer, you're holding a stand for somebody, you're helping somebody clear off their stuff. It was the first time where I was like, I'm just jumping in and helping, and everybody likes that. Wow, nobody's getting angry at me for moving their box, you know, half a foot. It was so nice. And I remember Mary Gregan also, I believe she performed. She did this, she performed this at the O'Neill too. This bit where she had worked for Pfizer for a time, was very famous for producing the Viagra drug. And she did this whole thing where she's presenting as if she is working at Pfizer, like answering phones, and then she falls asleep and has a dream sequence where this giant inflatable penis comes out. It is very, very silly, and I remember a lot of... I don't remember all the pieces in that slam. I remember Marta was there and Alyssa Honeycutt was there, like our dear friends, but definitely remember Mary's piece, the first giant inflatable penis I ever saw on stage, so thank you for that, Mary. And thank you for being a friend. Yeah. It's great to see that other puppet couples out there, like Mary and her family, you know, it's like we're all slogging through this. We're all trying to survive through this and figure it out. And so whatever you're doing out there, you know, like just get through this, survive through this, you know, and we'll see you on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That is like when we're all vaccinated, not in like heaven or something like that.
Yeah. And then next week, we hope to see you again. Oh, am I supposed to still talk about other people's puppet shows?
You can, but you know. Do you remember what Marta or Alyssa or anyone else did at that particular slam?
Marta, I think, probably was in a couple of pieces. She might have done her wooden hand marionette.
Oh, yeah.
And at that time...
If you didn't know, Marta made this very realistic-looking hand marionette where every single joint could move, and it kind of wriggled across the floor like the thing from the Addams Family.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a bunch of cool stuff with it. She built it at the O'Neill, right?
She did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful.
She had to, like, crawl up her body at one point.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And then I think also her and Honey Goodenough were performing that piece about the ice cream. Oh, it was a Prince song. Nothing compares to you?
To you.
Yeah.
Yeah, where Marta gets home.
Maybe.
And is crying and sobbing about a breakup.
Yeah.
And then in comes the puppety ice cream and like produces a spoon and opens its top and it's like, come on. And she's like, okay. And then the puppet ice cream is like, and whipped cream. Oh, you. And
it's
then
so cute.
By the end, she's dragging it under the table, and ice cream and fixings are flying up out of everywhere.
And then she ends up getting covered in chocolate sauce.
Yes, and so does definitely part of the stage. So when you do a messy show like that, you always have to close out the evening.
And Alyssa probably did her ugly fairy piece.
Because she had Honey and
me.
Yeah, three-person puppets where Alyssa sings and also puppeteers this beautiful, ugly, three-person tabletop puppet.
Yes, yes. I don't remember much about it other than...
Other than it was awesome.
That it was, yes, and that we had a nice time. It was nice to go out to New Jersey and perform a slam. We hadn't done that yet, so.
I remember I had new pants. I got a new black pants, and you were like, Hey, boy, come over here. Show off your new pants to my girlfriends. And I was like, okay. And you're like, that's right, spin around. I have memories of this happening.
It sounds like me.
Yes.
All right, well, onward, right?
That's right, onward. Hashtag onward, I guess. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so, too. We've been busy. I'm a little exhausted. I said maybe one of these I'll dress up and like look fancy. So one of these episodes.
You look good. You got this cute winter hat happening.
You like my hat?
Yeah. I got this vest. Like you could turn any crummy looking vest into like a cooler one just by sharpening out the logo.
Oh, you would sharpen.
Oh yeah. That's right. Goodbye, Columbia. Hello. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
you could just remove the tag.
This is true, but I kind of like the placement.
Yeah.
I might put like a pin there later or something.
That's true.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening, everyone. We're the Puppet Parent Podcast. You can listen to us every single week, maybe?
Most times. Most weeks we're here.
Over at puppetparentpodcast.com or wherever you get your streaming audio. We're on Spotify and all kinds of other podcast apps. If you want to just download the MP3s for whatever reason, head over to puppetparentpodcast.com and do that. If you want to follow us on social media, we're streaming these live on YouTube over at youtube.com/NYC Puppets or at facebook.com/WonderSparkPuppets. That's where you'll go to Facebook to see our live show, our special preview with these beautiful, ugly work in progress puppets that I am making and Z has nothing to do with on Sunday, March 21st at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Okay.
Have a great week, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.